This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And this week is Valentine's Day. It's going to be this Saturday, actually.
It is. And, you know, I think it's kind of hard when you've got a bunch of young children facing those romantic days. Because you have in your head what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the world's saying, and the world is saying fancy restaurants and diamonds and jewelry and flowers. And some of us have a hard time, like, even getting dressed during the day, you know?
You know, let's be honest. When you've got young children, there's not a lot of money in the budget or time on the clock when you know, that you can do those kind of things. You see those, I hear those advertisements on the radio, and I think, not for this stage of life.
Yes.
that's just not practical for us.
Because
right now.
Money is short, time is short.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, who could possibly find a sitter for Valentine's Day?
Honest to
goodness. It's not going to happen.
Oh, even if it's, you know, one of the worst Valentine's days I ever had since we got married, I was on a business trip. And so I was in Sydney, Nebraska on Valentine's Day, apart from you, a half a continent away. And that was so depressing. What was even worse was, well, not even worse, but something that was that just kind of put the cherry on it was I couldn't even get into a decent restaurant.
Yeah.
All the other people crowded ahead of us. And, you know, you don't think about, I need a reservation for a restaurant for myself, by myself. Okay, well, you know, yeah, you're right. It's a big deal. It's a Hallmark holiday. And the world is going to promote what the world will. You know, I think one of the really important, helpful things for me in dealing with seasons of life and the things that God has blessed us with, but also kind of requires some management, is to recognize that a lot of our expectations aren't realistic all the time.
No, and you know what? And along with that idea, we don't really have to please anybody but us.
Yeah.
And God. Yeah, and y'all excuse the coughing.
Karen and I are
fighting
a terrible cold.
Terrible cold.
Sorry. But
we don't have to please anybody but the two of us and our Lord. And so if we're happy, we're good.
Yeah.
And so what is the point of Valentine's Day? The point of Valentine's Day is to make sure that you recognize the one that you lost.
Yeah, it's a time. It's like your anniversary, but it's a sort of a second anniversary, you know, where you say, well, I'm going to take at least a few hours this in the busy season of life and just focus on the fact that God has brought me a mate and that we have built a family together. And this is a time to celebrate that. And just like celebrating your wedding anniversary. And
you know, one thing, Hal, that we think, well, anybody can do Valentine's Day cards. But have you looked at the cards recently?
Greeting cards are a sad state of affairs. I mean, just any holiday, honest to goodness. And, you know, and so that's, you know, that's one thing you can do, that not only that you can do to save some money and to add a personal touch to your celebration, but something you can even involve your children with.
Yeah, that's something we've done for years, is during the day, the children, on Valentine's Day, the children and I make cards. You know, they make cards for each other, and they make cards for us, and they enjoy cutting out the hearts. Even the boys enjoyed it. Yeah, you know, and decorating them and drawing them and trying to make them funny. And but what I've tried to do is I always try to make a card for you that means more than the sappy cards in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to find, you know, some bit of poetry that is says something about our relationship, like Ann Bradstreet. She's was known as a Puritan poet. She wrote some incredibly sweet love poetry to her husband.
Right.
And John Donne.
Yeah, and that's spelled D-O-N-N-E, if you haven't read him.
Whoa, he wrote some romantic stuff.
Donne is interesting because he was a pastor. But he wrote some really, some pretty seriously romantic poetry in his life, as well as some very serious devotional poetry. And, you know, maybe you're not a poet fan. Maybe you've got a favorite song.
Yeah, it just needs something to draw, to be able to say, you are worth me thinking about. Thinking about our love, our interaction is something important, and I want you to know that I value you. And so, yeah, that's a good place to start.
Okay.
So let's talk about celebrations, Hal. And then after the break in the middle, then we'll talk about the really romantic stuff, okay?
Well.
Because I know people are wondering, y'all going to address that? Yeah, we'll address that too.
Well, you know, we were just talking about that today. What do you want to do for Valentine's Day? Because, you know what? We are just starting in the busy season for our ministry and our business. And there's a lot of stuff going on here. We're doing a lot of writing. We're doing a lot of publishing things online and promoting correspondence, all this other stuff. And it's, you know, it's hard to step back and disengage from all of that and think, well, what do we want to do for celebration?
Well, you know, the traditional stuff is really hard when you have a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to get a sitter and go out to eat, go to a movie or something, becomes incredibly hard when you have little children because sitters aren't available. For us, we have built-in sitters. We have teenagers. But still, you've got to get a reservation. You've got to go fight the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be very private.
Right.
You know, and so that's an option, especially if you have kids old enough to babysit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're at home or if you don't have kids old enough to babysit, what are some things? One thing we've done is we sent the kids to grandma's for the night.
And that's good if that's an option close enough to you.
And you know, we had our celebration here at the house, but without the children. That was kind of fun.
Right.
It was quiet. Your house is never quiet like that.
Strangely quiet, eerily so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an option. You know, another option, and this may not work for the special day, but maybe just in life in general, is if there's another couple that you trust and you're on good, friendly relations with, maybe the two of you can trade some babysitting. You know, like maybe.
Well, yeah, either one of you could go out late and one early, or if one of you has teens, that teen could watch everybody's kids.
Hmm. Yeah.
Or, you know, and I remember one time in our homeschool group, we got everyone's teens together, and they watched all the kids together.
Mm-hmm.
They had a kids event. And, you know, everybody went out to eat, and we all came back to the church or wherever it was for dessert. And that was kind of fun. And so, you know, you can be creative. What though if your children just need to be at home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing you can do is you can incorporate your kids in your celebration.
And, you know, we talk about this some. We've got a blog post on our website. You can go to raisingrealmen.com. We answered a question from a reader who said, what do you do when we can't get away for our anniversary, not even for dinner out? And we had some really good ideas to share back then. So if you want to search that out, just go to raisingrealmen.com and search on anniversary. You'll find it real quick. But, you know, one of the points that I think you wrote that part of the blog post was that when you celebrate your anniversary, it's not just the celebration of your wedding. That's the founding date of your family. That's when your family was first established.
And see, although Valentine's Day is about romantic love, mm-hmm. boy, our romantic love affects our children. That's how our children came into being.
Yeah, right.
And it's good for them to see that we love each other in a romantic way. And so it's all right to have your children there and watch your wedding video together.
That's fun.
Or look through
the album. If you don't have a video, look through your wedding pictures or pictures from your engagement or your courtship time.
Or feed the kids hamburgers or hot dogs in advance and order takeout or fix a fancy meal and let the kids be the waiters and waitresses. You know, set a table for two with china and crystal and let the children be the waiters.
Well, that's a good idea.
I think it's good for them to see that. I think it's a good example for them to see that, yes, we old married folks love each other still. Yeah, that we're in love, that we can show appreciation for one another. I think we need to see that.
This was a kind of strange thing. I remember I had to be a certain age, and I was probably a teenager, before it really started to register on me that my mom and dad were people just like me, the same species, and that they have likes, dislikes, and they have wishes and desires and dreams about things. And it was an eye-opener to me to realize that, you know, there's a generation difference and there's difference in position and all, but, you know, I can learn a lot from my parents about how they manage their needs and desires and wants and disappointments and all the rest. And I think that by demonstrating to our children that, hey, you know what, sometimes we act silly with each other. Sometimes, you know, we can show some affection to each other that it's not going to embarrass the children too much. And they need to see that, you know, you don't change into a dull gray something or other when you become one of the old married folk.
That's right.
Young people don't have all the fun.
Well, we need to show them that marriage is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to show them that he who finds a wife finds a good thing,
right,
and obtains favor from the Lord. And unfortunately, we get so busy, it's easy to let that slide. You know, let them think that we're just coworkers and colleagues.
And that's, you know, really, this should be a lifestyle. It shouldn't be something that you just save up for Valentine's week. By any means.
That's the truth.
I mean, that is something you need to express your love and appreciation for one another, even in the midst of the busyness and the stress, and it's tax season and the car needs repairs and all that. You know what? You still need to take time for each other.
That's right. You need to express love in the way the other person can understand it. You know, one of our sons asked, so what about this Valentine's Day thing? What do you do if you're in a relationship? How do you handle that? And I said, well, you know, you must do one out of the following. One out of the following is required.
Mm-hmm.
Two is better. You must do one of these. Send a Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Do chocolate. Do flowers. Do a romantic event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't have to look like what you imagine. You know, everyone else is doing it. It can be creative. Maybe your mate doesn't like chocolate. Maybe they love flowers. Maybe a romantic event for you is taking off for the afternoon and taking a hike in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did that on one of our anniversaries
because
we love to hike together. But find some way to say, you know what? I love you as a member of the opposite sex, as my lover, as my mate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for you.
Yeah. Those are good things. Good things to remember. And I think, you know, we touched on this lightly at the first, and I really want to emphasize this. We can get so wrapped up in, if you want to say, the commercialized expectations of how, well, a proper celebration looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in these circumstances, and you do certain things and other things. It's just, oh, okay, you wouldn't do that. You know what? Why not? You didn't marry the culture's expectations. You married the person you married.
That's right.
And, you know, doing the things together that maybe the things that brought you together or the things that you've grown to love together and maybe don't have time to do as often as you'd like, any of those kind of things, just recognize your own relationship, not the relationship with the whole world or the jewelry industry or the teleflorist or anything else. You know, do something which speaks to you personally,
mm-hmm.
to your relationship.
Yeah, and if you need more ideas for that, I'm going to take a break here and then I'll tell you. We have something really neat going on.
Mm-hmm.
You can download our newest workshop. We presented it for the first time this weekend, called Romance for the Exhausted. You can download.
Which homeschooler is not exhausted?
Honest.
I guarantee. Mom is, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody is.
Mm.
You can download it. Go to raisingromance.com/Valentine's-day-freebie.
Mm.
And you can download it. And also, it's okay, if you're already a member of our newsletter, go ahead. It won't add you again, but go ahead and add your email address there. The calls, it'll take you to a page where we have the best deal ever for Valentine's Day gifts. You can get our book,
mm-hmm.
My Beloved, My Friend, plus the audiobook, so you get the His and Her Special, and a free registration to Marriage Retreat online. So it's like a $72 value and it's $35, so it's less than half price.
Mm-hmm.
So head out there to raisingromance.com/Valentine's-day-freebie /freebie. If you can't remember that, go to our web, go to Facebook, facebook.com/raisingrealmen, and scroll down and you'll see it. You can hardly miss it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Hal.
Yes.
Let's talk about how do you actually have time for physical affection?
How do you just have time alone to spend together?
It's tough when you've got young children. It is really tough. Hal, I tell you what, you're going to the doctor if you don't feel better soon.
I agree with that. Yeah, mark it there. The guy said, yeah, I think I will go to the doctor. Okay. I get tired of this.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Okay. Mm. How do you have time together? Well, and yes, are there any young people in our family here listening? Okay.
Well, I think, okay.
It doesn't have to be at the normal expected times.
That's the expectation thing again. You know, the point of your relationship is your relationship, not meeting somebody else's scorecard. I mean, you don't want to chase your whole life trying to satisfy the neighbors. And so just, you know, you said a phrase when we were talking about this coming into the program. You need to find romance wherever you find it.
Yeah, you really do. And you need to find the time wherever you find it. And that means that, you know, I used to feel guilty for taking naps, Hal, with the children when they were little, because I thought, I ought to be up cleaning house. And then after a while I realized, you know, Hal would rather me be rested and cheerful and happy than have the house clean.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you can tell that looking at my house. But anyway, you know, seriously, it might be a better expenditure of your time for your marriage for you to take that nap.
Right.
Or to get up early in the morning and spend time together before everyone wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to take creativity, but it takes a lot less creativity if you have an ongoing romantic relationship.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that takes time. And it's not all physical, you know, that you need to build one another up. You need to encourage one another, you know, spiritually, emotionally, sometimes physically. You know, I remember the other night you were sick and you were so tired you couldn't even stir yourself to go to bed. I had to, you know, kind of bully you upstairs a little bit because you really need
to rest. Hal's never bullied anybody in his life. You helped me answer. She said, come on, honey. Encourage me, and you handled me. Helped me. You've never bullied anybody.
But, you know, that's meeting one another's needs, and there's all kinds of needs. And,
yeah.
You know, you're in a partnership together for the long haul. And you know, it's not one of these things where you have to say, well, you know, we just have one chance to ever, you know, firm up our relationship. No, you've got a lifetime, and there's a thousand acts of kindness. There's a thousand opportunities to build up
and those
your love.
Acts of kindness, the complimenting one another, the genuine, authentic praise for one another, those, you know, taking the time to reach out and hug, to kiss each other when you say goodbye or when you say hello, those things build up the trust and the sexual tension that leads to finding time to spend time together, because you're not having to reconnect, which takes a long time before you can spend time together.
You mentioned something a little bit earlier, and I think we could play on that for a second, about how does your mate receive love? How do they want to feel your attention and your appreciation?
Well, yeah, that's important, and it's like
sorry.
Some people feel loved when you tell them that they're loved.
Yeah.
Other people, when you touch them, I remember counseling a woman one time, and I said, well, do you know how your husband likes, what makes your husband feel loved? And she said, yeah, so certainly I do. He wants to be touched. He wants me to sit right squash next to him. And I can't stand it, so I avoid sitting next to him if I possibly can.
Wow.
And I thought, how incredibly sad. And she,
that's tough, you know, because it's saying, I know what you really appreciate, what really makes you feel appreciated, and I'm not willing.
You know, what was sad to me is she went on to say, I don't understand why he's so cold toward me.
I don't understand why he
doesn't show me love and affection anymore. I thought, well,
because
I do.
You are not showing that to him.
Right.
He receives it.
Right. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to show each other love in the way the other person receives it. Some people receive love. They want people to do things for them, or they want people to spend time with them.
Yeah, we have family members that they don't want a present. They don't want to go out to eat. They just want to spend time with them. They just want you to sit in the living room and talk with them. And that, to them, that just charges their batteries up. That builds them up so much.
You know, other people like to receive gifts. It doesn't even have to be something big. But they want to be surprised. They want you to choose a thoughtful gift for them. You know,
that's an interesting point there, you know, because I know somebody who doesn't like being surprised.
I don't like being surprised at all.
You know, I know I had a coworker who, for an anniversary gift, he bought a vacation for him and his wife and didn't tell her where they were going. And in fact, he kind of led her astray and had her pack as if they were going skiing somewhere. And actually, he was taking her to Key West, and he had packed separate luggage. So he kind of kidnapped her. And I thought, you know, my wife would not appreciate that one bit.
No, she wouldn't.
She would not. She would not have thought that was fun or exciting or any.
No, I don't like surprises.
Yeah. And so, you know,
in fact, if I'm reading a mystery novel,
yeah,
I will often turn to the last couple of pages and read them so I can relax and enjoy the book.
Well, you know what? We're all different.
Yeah.
And knowing one another makes that, you know, that's important. In fact, that's a neat thing about the ongoing relationship, is continually discovering, continually finding out. People talk about you've got to keep some mystery in a relationship. No, you're mysterious enough. You've got to find out. You're on a seeking discover mission. And the interesting thing is the person that you're studying is always changing.
Yeah.
You know, I was counseling a young person recently about that. He's considering a young woman that might be a candidate for marriage sometime. And I said, you know, he was saying, I'm continually surprised at what I'm learning. I said, you know what? You'll never stop being surprised. Because
true.
Even as you think you've got it all figured out, that person is growing and changing. And you're going to be surprising them the same way. So you know what? You don't have to go down these weird, dark alleyways to make your relationship interesting.
No. And, you know, that's something I just want to caution people against. That there's so much bad advice out there right now saying you need to spice up your relationship with, you know, books or movies. And, you know, the spice in your relationship does not come from sin.
No.
Or pretending sin.
No.
The spice in your relationship comes through showing love.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you show love for one another, you get to know each other more deeply, you trust each other more deeply, you have a lot more fun together.
I like that word, trust.
Yeah, it's critical to the physical relationship.
And you can't take that out of a box and give it to somebody.
No, you can't.
You have to build that.
And trust is not built through the sick stuff that everybody's talking about right now.
No, it's not. No, trust is built through that long sequence of showing your consideration, of courtesy, of thoughtfulness, of self-denial.
Of taking the time to write a sweet note, or bring home a gift, or, you know, like you did tonight, Hal, when I was so tired and hungry and the kitchen was in disarray, and you grabbed one of our older sons and said, go get your mama some food, whatever she wants. And he went and brought me back Chinese, and I wanted shrimp so badly, and it was so good. And doing things like that, laying down our lives for one another, showing consideration for one another, and making an effort to please one another, that stuff causes spark.
That builds the relationship. That's like throwing the silken cords around each other, you know.
It really is. It just draws you closer together.
Over a lifetime, that just builds and builds.
And, you know, so what can we do to establish romance, even when there's children everywhere? Well, first of all, it's okay for your children to see some degree of romance.
Yeah, they need to.
They
need to form their ideas of what a relationship looks like in the home. From Christian parents who have a healthy marriage, not from watching MTV.
Right. And so let your kids see you have a romantic dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let them watch a kids movie in the other room while you watch a romantic movie in your room. You know, let them.
Or even watch a romantic movie with them and talk about it.
Let them see you show gifts for one another, praise one another. Show love to one another. Let them see Dad bring home roses for Mom.
Yeah.
You know, because when they do, it's going to make their future marriages stronger, you know, one of the best things my parents ever did for me is to let me see their love for one another. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember Dad one time just grabbing Mom and lifting her off the ground, spinning her around with delight. Mm-hmm. You know, that sticks with you. That shows you that marriage, even after, you know, my parents have been married, I think, close to 20 years at that point, you know, that marriage is meant to be fun and exciting and full of love for decades.
Yeah. And, you know, there are times and seasons in life. And you, if you've got small children, you're in one of the busiest times of your entire life. You know, and not just the busiest, but most demanding. One most makes most demands on you personally.
And even if you have tons more children, it's going to get easier. Because
it will.
Because older children can help. They can run errands. They can watch the younger ones. It's going to get easier.
And so, you know, you don't need to pine away saying, we will never go to a nice restaurant again. Baloney. You will. The time will come. Right now, you got to be flexible. You got to be creative. You got to be willing to, you know, find romance where you can find it in whatever time or context, and with or without children. And, you know, and those kind of things, you just need to say, hey, this is a season of life and God will provide.
Yes.
And, you know, and don't get discouraged, because it's, you know, it's easy to mope around about things. And, you know, you were advising somebody on this just recently. We were talking about having children, and, you know, we have 8 children, but our youngest is turning 6 years old this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't look like God's going to be sending any more little ones. And you were advising one mom that, yeah, you are really busy and you're overwhelmed right now, but it goes so fast. You'll be amazed.
It seems like just yesterday, you're standing there. I can picture it. Standing there in the front yard, dressed in your BDUs, Howell's Air Force officer, holding that little meatloaf on your chest. And that little meatloaf is now a grown man in his mid-20s.
With a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the time will flash by, and you'll go through different seasons, and you'll be able to do some of those husband and wife couple romantic getaway kind of things. Those,
and before the kids are all gone and grown.
And before that.
Gone and grown. Grown and gone. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you will be able to. But, you know, what you got to do in the meantime is you've got to maintain your relationship. You've got to maintain your love for one another. You've got to grow that love for one another to make it through the tough times. And you've got to enjoy one another. Because you know what? If you're a Christian, you're in this for the long haul. So
just
do its part. Let's enjoy it. Let's not make it a burden, you know?
Yeah. You know what? We do need to say before we sign off, we've got a few things coming up in March. We're going to be at the Southwest Indiana Home Educators Conference in Evansville, Indiana.
Yes.
And we're also going to be speaking at Corydon Baptist Church in Corydon, Indiana, and the North Dakota Homeschool Association's Conference in Fargo, North Dakota. If you want to find out where we're going to be, well, first off, subscribe to our newsletter. But you can come to our website, raisingrealmen.com, and click on the tab that says events, and you can get the up-to-the-date schedule and itinerary where we're going to be.
And while you're out there, don't forget that this week we've got a Valentine's Day freebie. So we're talking about some of the things we did tonight, but even more.
Yep.
Okay? RaisingRealMen.com/Valentine's-Day-Freebie.
Right.
Okay.
So, look, we appreciate you joining us for Making Biblical Family Life Practical, and we hope you have a great Valentine's Day. Until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks so much.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.